All right, you guys have a seat. Again, Merry Christmas. It's great to see you here. Dale, you and I sound like we've been drinking out of the same cup. But it wouldn't be a Yeti, because if it was a Yeti, it's so cold in there, germs can't survive, I've heard. Just trying to kind of promote those cups. One day they're going to sponsor our whole ministry here, and just we'll build buildings and we'll buy buses and we'll just do it all, right? I had the greatest Christmas experience this past week. This morning was great. Don't get me wrong. It was always good to see the boys get up on Christmas morning and open presents and just be excited and stuff. This past week, though, we went Christmas caroling. Now, see, the laughter comes from people that were there. We had Christmas. I've done Christmas caroling for years and years and years, done it with different groups. I've had some of the most embarrassing experiences Christmas caroling. Wasn't embarrassed one time this past week, but we also, I don't know if at one time we actually hit the right note at the right time. We got here, had a lot of people that were sick. Dale was supposed to be our fearless leader, but then they have a kid. And, it's all about spending time with family when there's a new baby. So we all got here, and kind of the group looks around and says, hey, we don't have anybody that's usually up on stage. So I stepped up. So I beg to differ, right? So I said, I'll lead it. I got this, right? And anybody that starts out anything then just with the statement, I got this, they usually don't, and I didn't. But we went caroling, and we had a phenomenal time. Again, we had way more fun than we had good music. And somebody said, well, I think next year, this was so fun, I bet you we have a lot of people join in. I said, yes. I said, but here's what we're going to do. We are going to have next year, we will have our group, and it can grow, but we're not accepting great singers. You just have to have Christmas spirit, be willing to have a good time, ask people that are there to sing with you. We'll take Dale back in. We're redrafting him. But then we'll have another group for people that just want to go sound great, right? And that will be your ministry, and then we'll just bring the real joy and laughter. We were told to be quiet by one person. We're assuming that had more to do with age than anything else, and we're trusting Jesus for that. But it was absolutely a phenomenal time, and I hope you're having a great Christmas. If you did not have a chance to give, if you would like to give to our end of year offering, those envelopes are out in the backs of some of the chairs and on the table and stuff. We are going to be announcing what that total is and everything next week as we start off our new year, and let everybody know how that's gone. But thank you so much for your generosity and taking an opportunity to do that. This morning, just for a few minutes, I've made the promise we're going to be done at 11:30. And that promise has more to do with the lunch that I'm getting ready to go eat than it does anybody else. But this morning, I want to take a few minutes and just talk a little bit about some of the people that heard God speak to them through the Christmas story. Over the last few weeks, we've been in this series called Hope is Born. And really, that is the heartbeat of Christmas. That hope is what comes out of Jesus in the story of the gospel when we hear it. And through that story, we've heard about a lot of different stuff. Now, last week, we went back hundreds and hundreds of years back into Isaiah. And we spent some time in Isaiah 9 as we looked at the hope that we have in Jesus. This connection between this suffering servant and this conquering king. As we went through those four parts of Isaiah 9, and I hope that God did something there in your heart with that encouragement. We also looked at the stories of Joseph, and we looked at Mary, and we looked at some of these things that went on. So just to kind of go back and pull in, I want to look at three times that we hear God bring a message to the people that are in this Christmas story. If you go back to Matthew chapter 1, remember that Joseph... It said Joseph was a good man. He's a righteous man. He lived a life that really he was trying to honor God. But he heard that his fiancée, that he was legally committed to in marriage but had not yet had a physical relationship with, and they had not moved in together, had their wedding celebration or anything, he heard that she was pregnant. The word had got back to him. So if it got back to him, you know that it was spreading around. And God sent his message through an angel to Joseph in a dream, and it said, Joseph, Don't be afraid. I realize that you've heard, yes, it is true, that Mary is pregnant, but this is something out of the ordinary. This is something that I'm doing. And I don't want you to be scared of it. I want you to be able to just to fully embrace it and go see what I'm doing in this. Well, then when we go over to the book of Luke shares more about Mary's story. And Mary's story was, she was the one that had a Gabriel, this famous messenger of God, come to her and say, "Hey, Mary, don't be scared. You found favor with God." Now, the news that followed was, you're pregnant. We realize this is not anything that you did outside marriage, but this is what God is doing in you. So I don't know if Mary felt really favored by that news, because she was dealing with the social ramifications that we live in and we deal with. So I don't know how favored she felt then, but the angel said, "Hey, don't be afraid. I'm going to bring Jesus into the world through you, literally. And you're going to know him, and you're going to help raise him, and you're going to not just know him as Jesus, but you're going to know him as Messiah and Savior, and you're going to know through experience, not just know through birth, know through name." Well, then there's this collection, as my middle son narrated through the play last week, the scruffy old riffraff, the shepherds that are keeping watch. And it's funny because there's been a change in the image of shepherds. See, when we look back in the Old Testament, we see a guy named David, King David, who came from being a shepherd. Well, that was the popular time to be a shepherd. That was when it was more socially acceptable. It was a little bit more revered as a job. At this time, shepherds were a little bit more of a joke, a little bit more of an outcast. They were a little bit more the guys that just didn't get along. People joked about them. They spent their time with animals. They didn't really get pulled into the Christmas parties. Well, they didn't have Christmas parties because this was the first Christmas. They didn't get pulled into a lot of the social events. But in Luke 2, we see this happening. In verse 8, it says, "In the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not.'" Sounds a little bit like what we've already heard about. "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men.'" Now, God, if anything, is consistent. If you're perfect, then you always are perfect. You're always you. That's not who we are. I am far from perfect, right? Thank you, Troy. You ever heard one of those kind of slightly inappropriate amens? That was one of them right there. I'm just kidding. He was identifying right there. He was like, "Yes, I'm taking that on in my life." So here, yesterday we were up here getting some stuff done. And I will say my three boys have been better than normal. I'm not criticizing their normal. I'm just saying they've been better than normal this Christmas season. They have jumped in and they've done some stuff. We took them with the seniors. We went to the Billy Graham Library this past Monday, and the whole way there, probably everybody was like, "You know what? I bet you Derek's just in prayer for safety." No, I'm praying to God that either my kids don't break something of Billy's or I don't break my kids. I mean, it's really one of those two things, right? There's a family here that has the perfect child. I'm not going to call them out right now, but that's not my three sons, okay? So that's, and I'm just like, "Please, Lord." And we got back, and when me and Wendy looked at each other, and we were like, "Oh, my gosh. I don't even think those were our sons today. That was just a divine intervention in the van," right? I mean, we spent 2 hours there and back on a church van, and I never saw one of them flip over the seat. Now, I saw Jimmy flip over the seat a couple times, but I didn't see that it happened with them. Took them all these different places. Yesterday, I'm in here, and, you know, the kids were doing something and trying to rush and get done, and all this different stuff is going on. And My middle son did something, and I gave him a bottom encouragement. You know what those are? And I gave him one of those, but I did it quick, and it was something I had to go back and apologize to him and talk to him about, and talk to him about what was wrong, but why my reaction wasn't the best, and make things right between me and him. But you know, that's not who God is. You know, when God speaks, if it's quick, then it needs to be quick. If God has to be stern, then it's the right time to be stern. If he's loving, then it's the right time to be loving. And I know one thing for sure, that God from Genesis to Revelation is a communicator to people. And he's always been about this hope being born. You know, think about the Genesis. Out of the darkness came what? Light. Out of the ground came life. Out of sin came restoration. Out of great sin came a washing flood, but after the flood came a rainbow. Out of slavery came freedom. But when sin took freedom to wandering, God brought them to the promised land. When you see God's story from starting in Genesis with us, it's always been about wanting to have us close to him. And through that, and through us getting closer to him and us getting where he wants us to go in life, God does want to communicate to us. So I just want to take, if God is consistent, and I believe God to be, he's proven to me that he's consistent in everything that he does. He communicates in three different ways, but three consistent ways to Joseph, to Mary, and to this group of shepherds. All three very different people. A man who thought he had everything together and realized that he was getting ready to have to walk a hard road in life. A young girl who had her reputation drug through the mud because of what was going on. And a group of guys who just didn't belong. And even in that communication, God's message said, you know what, this is really for everybody. But there's three things in this that I want us to take from this morning. And I want you just to kind of take this and take it with you. Let this kind of meditate on it to say, okay, ending one year and going into a next, God, I want you to speak to me. I want to hear you. So what consistently can I know is going to be coming from you as you communicate to me, God? The first thing is this. God is not tied to one communication method. Right? Comes to Joseph in a dream, it's just that kind of, that quiet whisper, right? That still small voice that you hear sometime that you just say, you know what, I just feel like God is putting something on my heart. He's just telling me something. Came to Mary face-to-face, one-on-one. Sometimes God's word to us and his message to us about what's going on in our life is just directly in front of our face, and it's just crystal clear. It may be hard to handle, but it's crystal clear. And sometimes God has to use his own version of his megaphone with all these angels that are out there talking to these shepherds because they had heard a message for so long that you're just not worthy and not accepted that he had to broadcast it a little bit louder to get over the noise that they had bought into in their life. Because I don't know about you, sometimes, have you ever been in the place you know that God, as you hear, maybe you just hear it over and over from his word, or he does something in your life, he uses someone and their wisdom and their discernment to speak life into you and to encourage you, and all of a sudden you're like, man, God just seems to be speaking to me so loud right now. And when I realize that, I also realize that I've let the volume of just junk noise in my life get so loud that it has become hard to actually hear God's voice. So he's had to broadcast a little bit louder. And he does that because he loves us. He's willing to get loud when he needs to get loud. If one of your kids or somebody you love was getting ready to step out into a busy highway, would we go, hey, stop? No, we'd get loud. Why? Because we need to get loud because it's for their best interest, their life. And sometimes God is willing to get loud. Sometimes he just knows that it's time for just that whisper to us. God's not tied to any one level of communication. So look at your life, and it's for me to look at my life in this way. Whatever is going on, if it is consistent with the Bible, I need to assume that it's God speaking to me and find out what he might be saying. The second thing is this. God speaking to you and to me is always about pushing out fear and bringing in hope. Always. The one consistent statement to Joseph, Mary, and uninvolved shepherds was all the same thing. Don't be afraid. See, sometimes we say, you know what, well, there's things in life that scare me. You know what scares me sometimes? God, I don't want to mess up what you've gotten started. Or if I need to hear from you, God, I don't want to assume that it's you and get it wrong. Sometimes just the voice of God can intimidate us if we're not careful, because we don't know what it's going to say. We're afraid that we might have to change. It just startles us. It's not what we were ready for. So we get nervous. So instead, we're reminded, just don't be afraid. Because here's the thing. If you sincerely trust someone and you really believe that they have your best interest at heart and their love for you is great, then you really do always want to hear what they have to say. Does that make sense? And when we read in God's Word and we understand Jesus, we understand the gospel, we understand what God's story has been from beginning to end, then knowing that and believing that, we have to also say, you know what? I can't let fear close his voice. I got to allow God to say first, hey, don't be afraid. Let's keep everything open while I want to speak to you. But the third thing is this. First, there's no one way God has that he's boxed in to speak to us. Second, when he speaks to us, it's always wanting to push fear out and bring hope in. But the third thing is this. Every communication through these two individuals in one group, these three situations, one thing happened in every one of them. The goal was one central thing, and that was to move each of these people closer to Jesus. Does that make sense? You have Joseph, who said he had already kind of started to make up his mind, you know what, probably ought to just let this girl off easy. She'll be saved, but you know what? I got to restart my life. I got to get a fresh start. I got to get some new stuff going on. And the main message that God was sending him was saying, no, move closer into this. You may not fully understand it, but you need to move closer into this. Mary, scared teenager, she doesn't know how she's going to get away from it. If this news is true, and it's just about saying, you know what, don't let your emotions pull you out of this. Go with your whole heart into this. The shepherds, they weren't family. They weren't mom or dad. They were taking care of business out in this field. They were not planning to go into town. They were good where they were. It was peaceful where they were. The animals were there. They were comfortable. They were probably joking and telling stories. And the angel said, no, you know what? It's a little bit bigger move. You got to get up. You got to pack up. You got to put the fire out here, and you got to move in to where the brighter light is shining. Any time that I've ever been able to say, you know what, this for sure is God speaking to me, it always moves my life to a closer walk with Jesus Christ. It's unavoidable. It doesn't make sense. How could God speak to us and us be farther away from Jesus? Right? It's funny. You may have some conversations sometimes, and somebody might even ask you like this, hey, would you pray about this? And you sit there in your mind, you're going, you know what, if I pray about that, that's actually going to take you farther away from God, so I've got to politely tell you no, I can't pray about that, right? Because it doesn't make sense for us to say, hey, it must be God moving, but yet we end up farther away. You know, what God is telling me to say, you know what, I'm releasing me and just telling me I'm done with you. I've had enough. I can't forgive that. Really? Because God seems to be big on forgiveness. It's hard sometimes. Because if Jesus, on his way to heaven before his last breath, said, you know, Father, just go ahead and forgive these guys for what they just did, I think he embraces the difficulty in forgiveness way more than we do sometimes. Everything that God tells you, is always going to be about moving us closer to Jesus. And sometimes I think we set goals that aren't centralized enough about just simply taking single steps closer to Jesus Christ. You know, we do want to do some big things. We want to see God continue to do some big things around church here. But, you know, let's say we were sitting on a large sum of money and we were just going to take that and we were just going to, you know, build a huge building out and just kind of just, you know, quadruple the size of the room that we're sitting in, just, you know, just keep blowing buildings out here. That would be physical growth. But do you realize if instead of that we said, okay, let that money sit here for a moment and let's all today spend 15 minutes in God's Word and then 10 minutes in prayer to Him and just really give Him that time so we can hear Him. That is better growth because it's directly moving us closer to Jesus than just physically going through the labor of building a building or doing something just because we're doing something and being active. Like, we know what it's like to waste time, right? Don't we? To just do something to do something. Like, there is a spiritual side that's just like raking leaves. You know what I'm saying? Your leaves start to fall, and you start raking them, and then half of what you rake gets blown back out into the yard before you're done. That's why I have a philosophy. Trees are naked, I rake leaves. Right? I'm not fighting you anymore, trees. Like, when you've given up the fight, I come in and I clean up after you, right? And spiritually, sometimes that's what we do. I've spent a lot of times in my life where I'm just, I think I'm getting something done, but I'm really not because I'm not moving closer to Jesus, and that's what God's communication always will do for us. We'll ask Dale to come on back up front, and we're going to close in just a second in a song. But I want you to think about this. The greatest story, the greatest message that God has ever sent to earth, He sent through His Son Jesus. And we share this. We shared this last week, and we had five people that claimed Jesus Christ as Savior in that moment, said, I'll begin a relationship, that they got saved then. That's incredible. But here's the thing. The greatest story that we hear, we say, is Jesus, and it's the gospel, and it's salvation, and it's this relationship with God. But maybe we haven't given God enough credit for the continued communication that He wants to continue that conversation with us every day for the rest of our lives in a way that's so real and so personal that on a regular basis, He says, look, I want to speak loud when I need to get your attention. I want us to be able to be close enough, and I want you to live in a way that I can just do some whispering to you as well, because those distractions in your life are way down, and I can just whisper some stuff to you on a regular basis to help you. I want to push out the things that make you fearful, and I want to bring in the hope into you, so when you hear me and you hear my voice and you know that it's me, that you just hear hope. You know, here's the thing that's so great about that. Whether you say, hey, that's exactly where I'm living now, or you may say, you know what, it's been a while since I really can say that on an active daily basis, I hear God speak to me. And I promise you, He's speaking. Sometimes we just don't give Him credit for using all His ways. Thursday, I went to my dad's house on Thursday. And there was some stuff. My grandfather passed away several years ago, and there was some stuff that's been in his house, and he gave me a few things. And he gave me four guns, and I don't have a lot of guns. I don't hunt. I believe in people that do hunt. Thank you for what you do. I'm not committed to woods that early in the morning. It's fine. We can agree to disagree. But he gave me, I felt like the Clampets coming back out of the mountains. That's where he lives, like with these guns in the back of my minivan, just fearful. Somebody's going to pull it. You mind if I search your car? I'm going to freak out and get arrested. But he gave me also, my grandfather retired at one point from the railroad, and he gave me his pocket watch that he used for the railroad. Okay? So his pocket watch was made in 1936, right? It's old for a watch. And I took it over to my father-in-law's house last night, and we were just looking at it. And he was showing me some stuff. His dad had he was showing me his dad's pocket watch that he traded for, and he showed me an old pocket watch he traded some kid for when they were little. I don't know what he swapped for a watch, but he got that kid over. But we were sitting there with his pocket watch, and he looked at me and he said, "Well, why don't we see if it works?" I'd had the pocket watch for a couple of days. It was made in 1936, to be honest with you. I just kind of assumed that it didn't work. So he unscrewed, he showed me how to take the back off, and we looked at it, and sure enough, I pulled the thing at the top, and I wound it around to the right time, and I pushed it back in, and just real quietly, I could hear tick, 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 tick. And I watched it, checked it every few minutes for about 25 straight minutes, and it held perfect time. And sometimes I wonder if that's kind of where I've gotten with God, or we get with God sometimes, where it's like this thing that we're holding, and it's not current, and it's not actively in pace, and our lives aren't actively in pace with it, not because it doesn't work. We just haven't thought about starting it. And it's really that easy. It took me 30 seconds to get a 1936 pocket watch working. It takes us literally seconds, anytime, to just come to God and say, "God, speak to me." And when He speaks to you, it'll happen in a lot of different ways. It wants to push out fear and bring in hope. And it's always going to be aimed at moving you at least one step closer to Jesus. The Jesus that was born on Christmas, the Jesus that died for your sins, the Jesus that rose from the grave, and the Jesus that will reign as King for eternity, whether someone says Lord or not. And that's the God that's paying attention to you. Just looking for a conversation. God, thank you so much for the time that we've had. Lord, we love you. God, we're just so thankful that you want to speak to us. God, we ask that you just, Lord, through today and through every day in our life, God, that we just give you credit, that you speak, that you love, that you work, that you do. And God, help us to understand that your wisdom, your perfect knowledge, all of that, your heart, your emotions, the way that we should think about things and feel about things. God, you're just there waiting to pour that into us. But God, your word says that for those that seek you, we will find you. That you'll gently knock, and it's just literally opening the door and the opportunity for you to speak, and you'll come in and you'll have this meal with us in this relationship and this conversation. God, if we ask things as we grow spiritually in the name of Jesus because they're for Jesus and for the kingdom, God, you say in your word that you'll grant those things. God, help us to remember that whether we're feeling a little bit outcast, we're feeling a little bit alone, and we're not sure where we stand with the world around us, or we just don't understand the information that we've been given, that through whatever in life, God, a conversation with you moves us closer to Jesus, moves in hope, and can come at us from any direction, God, that you know that we need to hear it, because, God, we do need your voice. Lord, we thank you, and we are so blessed. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. As you stand with me, if the ushers will go ahead and come up front this time, we're going to take up our offering during this last song. We'll always leave the altar open if you'd like to come up and pray. But as we conclude this service, I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. And the same thing that Dale challenges us with every week, that God put on his heart long ago, which is to go change the world, can happen just as easily on Christmas Day at lunchtime as it can on a week that's full of work. So when we hear those words today, I pray that I hear those just as loud. Just real quickly, God, we ask that you bless this offering, this giving. Lord, help us to be givers to you. Help us to be generous to the world around us. Help us to not hold resources, God, that are yours for the kingdom. But God, help us to see you grow and you multiply and you do something that's greater than we can describe, because we can only describe it as Jesus and his kingdom and your glory. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.